We're going to be checking up on grades, and so we want you to pay very close attention to the Blackboard reported grades so that we can make sure that they're accurate. We updated the web pages a lot over the weekend. And I think that's really about it. What we're going to talk about today is finish up filters and move on to the last topic of the course, which is going to be transients. Anyway, with filters, I want to do a couple more examples, because what we did on Friday was I introduced a high-pass filter. My general experience is that you find it fairly easy to plot the low-pass filter, but you have difficulty with the high-pass filters. We did a passive high-pass on Friday, so I want to do an active high-pass today. And then I'm going to do some band-pass and notch filters. Okay, and this is an op-amp active filter. Oh, there we go. And this is going to be fairly typical of these kind of filters. Single op amp, whoops, that's not there. Now, I'll make a first comment. If you just have a capacitor or a inductor, it is going to be a high pass or a low pass. You've already started to work in the lab with band pass. I'm going to show you how you derive those in the second half of today's lecture. But you can't do a band pass without two capacitors or two inductors or a combination of an inductor or a capacitor. But you have to have two reactive elements because you have two slopes. Here, we have only one reactive element, and it turns out it's going to be a high pass, but let's look at it. And the first thing that you always do is, with these problems, they're ideal op amps. So the first thing, 0 volts here, 0 volts at that node. There is no current going into the op amp, so what do? You do Kirchhoff's current law at that upper node. That simply will give you the relationship between the input and the output voltage. So for example, what we would do right here, the whole circuit just comes down to this. Where that voltage is V2 of J omega, that voltage is V1 of J omega, that is R2, and what I'm going to do here, this would normally be the input, I'm going to combine it into a single R1 plus 1 over J omega C, since they're in series. Okay, it's a more complicated impedance, it's a more complicated resistance, but all you have to do now is analyze that current and that current. And I don't show that current going into the inverting terminal because that's zero. Okay, so that's all the analysis there is. I mean, at this point, you do KCL, sum of the currents equals zero at a node. I'll use plus N. Call this I1 and that one I2. And what I would have is just very simply plus I1 minus I2 equals zero. And you could have told this just by looking at it, that I1 equals I2. That makes perfect sense. What goes out of the node equals what comes into the node. There's only two currents, one going in, one going out. So consequently, they have to be equal. That's actually the hard part of the filter analysis. I mean, the rest of it is we just rate these currents, I1 and I2. V1 of J omega minus zero. I'm using plus and minus, passive sign convention. Some of you are still messing that up on the quizzes, so watch it. And I do R1 plus 1 over J omega C. That's one of the currents. The second current will be 0 minus V2 J omega. And I'm going to divide that by R2. And at that point, you've actually solved for the complete frequency-dependent output of the filter. The rest is just algebra and rearranging it. And if you rearrange it, what you want to do is get V2 over V1. So you'd get R2 over R1 plus 1 over J. Whoops. Oh. And that's going to be equal to V2 over V1. And I always put the negative sign on the other side. And this is what we call our transfer function. And the book's notation is TV of J omega. This can be called the gain. It can be called a variety of other things. Now, remember what I said about if you're going to plot this. Right now we've solved the problem. Technically, everything up to this point is correct. You actually, if you knew more about these transfer functions, you could tell what the response looks like just by looking at that. But we're going to take it a little slower and plot it. And to do that, to do a Bode plot, the first thing that I told you is that you need to get a 1 plus J something in the denominator. And we don't have that. And the way we're going to get it is multiply our top and our bottom by J. And we'll get a minus R2, and actually J omega R2C. And we'll get down here a 1 plus J omega R1C. And I may as well put TV on the left-hand side like I normally do. But that's just algebra. I just multiplied a couple things out. And now, well, the key point was that one right there. And it's followed by a J term. Okay? Now, you may or may not remember back on Friday. But if you see a J omega term in the numerator, I can tell you right now, that will be typically, in this course, a high-pass filter. If you see a constant, you know, resistors, stuff like that, in the numerator, that will be a low-pass filter. But we're going to plot it so that you explicitly see the difference. Okay? And what do you do? 20 log 10, we do the vertical axis in dB. Okay, and I take the log of the two terms on the right-hand side, and it's the log of the magnitude. And I'll explicitly write it out. Okay, and the reason I explicitly wrote it out, because people will get in trouble with the minus sign and the J. That minus sign is inside the log. It's inside the log of the magnitude. What happens when you take the magnitude of something? It's always going to come out positive. And you're going to get rid of the J. The only minus signs that come in is whether it's in the numerator or the denominator, because these are logs. That minus sign comes from being in the denominator, not because it's the minus sign in front of a coefficient. Okay? So now, we're going to take that expression, and, you know, once you get used to doing this, you won't put down nearly as much detail, but that becomes 20 log 10 of omega R2C, whoops, R2C, minus 20 log 10. And then I'll keep this magnitude, 1 plus J omega R1C. And we'll start plotting this. And I'll use omega, and we'll plot gain in dB on the vertical. Gain is that term. And now, the hard part with high-pass filters is, what does that term look like? I'm going to plot first the 20 log 10 omega R2C term. What does that look like if you plot it? Well, the simplest thing is, just pick any omega. Increase that omega by a factor of 10. Okay? So I'd have 2 points. 20 log 10 of 10 times something. Okay? I'm multiplying. So what's going to happen is, when you take the log, and maybe I should just write this down here so you see what I'm talking about. Okay. All I'm doing is I'm picking 2 points so I can figure out what the slope of the curve is and plot it. Okay. And actually, the curve's a straight line. Well, this we're not, the first term we're going to do nothing with because that's our reference. The second one is, it's a product, and I'm going to factor out the 10. Okay, so the second term is exactly the first term. This right here is the difference between the 2 points, and so that's the slope. And what is 20 log 10? It's 20, because the log of 10 is 1. So technically, what I have, if I plot this as a function of omega, just these 2 points, there's whatever the value is for that term. Okay, that's that point. And then, that was at omega. At 10 omega, it's that same value plus 20 dB. And this is always true. So you have a curve that's going up like that. The one thing that I haven't figured out, and I haven't told you, is on the curve that we were initially plotting, where do we put it vertically? You know, where's our absolute? What we've done is the slope is 20 dB, and it's a plus 20 dB, technically, per decade, because a factor of 10 in frequency is referred to as a decade. Now, the easiest thing with a curve like this, the numerator, this omega R2C term, is set it equal to 1. Why? Because if it's equal to 1, what's the log of 1? 0. So that will tell you the point at which that line crosses 0. And if you do that, what you will see is, let's put it down here at the bottom, let omega R2 C equal 1. Then omega equals 1 over R2 C. That's not a cutoff. What that is the point at which it's equal to 0. Okay, and if you want, you could put 0 dB in our original plot right there. And what this is saying is that at frequency omega equal to 1 over R2C, that's where this curve, which is going up at 20 dB per decade, crosses. So you see, there's two parts to plotting it. One, the slope. Everything that we're doing in here is 20 dB per decade. You can basically commit that to memory. You probably will not need to prove it ever on a homework, a quiz, or even the final, if you remember it. If you don't, you'll have to do what I did right there and derive it from scratch. Okay? We got our vertical reference from the point at which omega R2C is equal to 1. Now, what happens? We've taken care of plotting the very first term up here in our filter response. We haven't done the second term. The second term is actually the easy term. This is common to low pass. This is common to high pass filters. Okay? What it is it's going to be for omega small. That is omega, we're going to basically ignore the second term. We're going to, remember, our plot is starting at the left and going to the right, so we're increasing in frequency. And what that means is omega small. That makes that second term that's covered by the pen small. So basically, the second term, while I've been plotting all of this here, is the log of 1. I'm assuming, by the way, that that second term is going to cut in at a higher frequency than the first one, than this first omega equals 1 over R2C. But the log of 1 is 0. So for low frequencies, the second term isn't doing anything at all. Now what happens? We move from left to right in our plot, we increase frequency, and we basically then ignore the 1. We switch to the point where the J omega R1C term dominates. The omega R1C, and notice I didn't say J, because when you take the magnitude, the J is basically eliminated. So we're plotting 20 log 10 omega R1C. That's exactly what we just plotted. We know that the slope is 20 dB per decade. The question is, it's got a minus sign in front of it. So here's what happens. This goes along until we reach the frequency at which the real and the imaginary parts of the term are equal. Okay, when omega R1C equals 0, or omega equals 1 over R1C, that's when this basically switches from being dominated by the 1 to being dominated by the omega R1C. When it's dominated by the omega R1C, we're actually going to start going down by minus 20 dB per decade. From that term only. The other term is going up by 20 dB per decade. If it's going up by 20 and down by 20, what's the net result? 0. So what happens is, at this frequency, omega equals 1 over R1C, the slope just now becomes horizontal. And that's your frequency response. That is a high-pass filter. Basically, it's amplifying the high frequencies. Now, there's a little trick And if you followed in the book, it's a really good trick. If you're confused on a quiz, if you're confused on a homework, this is what they call the zero frequency response and the infinite frequency response. Just take that algebraic expression. Even before I did the log, take the limit as omega goes to zero. Take the limit as omega goes to infinity. If you stop and think about it, for a high-pass filter, at omega equals zero, it'll always be smaller than the response at omega equals infinity. For that high pass, the right-hand side is always higher than the left. For the low-pass filter, it's exactly the opposite. So sometimes when I ask you, is it a high pass or a low pass, you don't need to plot this at all. The question is simply, is the DC response larger or smaller than the infinite frequency response? So you can avoid going through all of this, and you can also use it as a check on what you're doing. Okay, any questions on this? Because we seem to be getting a lot of questions about filters in the lab. Now we're going to get to band pass in a moment. But any questions on low pass, high pass? Okay, must be Monday morning. Let's see what we have here. Okay, how do you construct complex filters? Okay, and I don't mean complex numbers here. What I'm talking about is band pass and band reject, also called notch. Okay, there's actually tons and tons of complicated filters, and people have built their entire careers on filters, and there's filters which are named after all kinds of people. We're going to look at making complex filters by combining low passes and high passes. So we're going to take the simple filters, put them together. That's how we get a complicated one. And there's only going to be two ways that we're going to combine them. The first one is what we call cascade, or series. And by that, I'm going to do the following. I'm going to have my ordinary Gesundheit. I'm going to have my voltage source, and it's going to supply a high-pass filter. And that will have a response, T1 of J omega. And at the output of it, I'm going to put another filter. It'll be connected electrically just in series. And that one will be T2 of J omega. And then the output of that will be V2 of J omega. To make a band pass, and remember, what was a band pass? A band pass can be drawn a lot of different ways. Some of the examples in the book are just like that, where this would be some center frequency. It's got a slope up and a slope down. And the only way you can get that is with two terms. Another form that it might look like is it might be flat in the middle. And that's the more general one, okay? Where that center region is usually called, and this is what we actually call the pass band. Okay. Now, whether you have this shape or this shape depends on the cutoff frequencies of the two different filters. This one would be omega C1 This one would be omega C2. And basically, all that would happen is, I think you can sort of see that, and I don't know, maybe you don't see, that the relationship between the input and the output is just their product. That's the key thing. This is product. Why? Because how call the output of the first filter right here VA. Okay? What's VA? And that would be of J omega. VA of J omega is T1 of J omega times V1 of J omega. What's the relationship between the input and the output for the second filter? V2 of J omega equals T2 of J omega times VA of J omega. You see, all I've done is I've basically written down the definition of the transfer function twice. But notice, I can just take the expression for VA, substitute it in the second one, and you see, all it is a product. So, that's the key thing. When I put them in series like that, I get the product. Okay? And remember, what happens when you do a product and you take the log of it? It just becomes the sum. So basically, all I'm doing is, for a band pass, when I do the 20 log 10 of T of J omega, I get the response of each of them, and I simply add them together. And what that will always do is you'll get responses like this. This is omega. This is gain. And here would be the response for the high pass. And here would be the response for the low pass. And that would be omega C 1. And this would be omega C2. And I think you can sort of see, I at this point put, as the electrical engineer designing this, I put omega C2 higher than omega C1. That separated them. That's how I get that horizontal flat area in between. What if I make omega C2 and omega C1 get closer to each other? Well, that little pass band will get narrower and narrower. Okay, I'm just squeezing these in. What happens when they're equal? Then I just have it coming up to a point and going back down. And I could even reverse the order, and what would happen is, instead of just staying at that height, the peak would actually start moving down. So, by choosing the omega C1 and the omega C2, I can bring it in and get that, and I could even start making it do that. Just by choosing the omega C1 and the omega C2. But for a band pass, you want the low pass frequency to be higher than the high pass frequency. Now, you can also make a connection between filters that's different. That was in series or cascade. How about if you do something like this? And I don't think we have you make one of these, but I can't remember. We do this. and then we combine them. Now, this is really common in a lot of things, and in fact, this is a situation where you can actually separate bands of frequencies. You see, if you have an original signal that might be composed of signals of a whole lot of frequencies, like let's say 0 to 100,000 hertz, and I put a high pass and a low pass, what you'd actually be doing is separating it. You'd have all the low frequencies coming out of one filter, all the high frequencies coming out of the other filter. By the way, that's used an awful lot in vibration analysis, in mechanical engineering, civil engineering, places like that. Anyway, let's take a look at this. And let's call this VA, the high pass output, and VB. And V1 will be our input. And what you have is that V2 of J omega equals VA plus VB. I think you can understand that right away. Okay. And VA, well actually, let's divide each of them by J omega. Because what I'd like to do is get TV of J omega. What's the transfer function for the connection? Okay, and what you would have here is VA over V1, both of those are J omega, plus VB J omega over V1 J omega. And if you take a look up here, I define T1 and T2. All that is it's T1 of J omega. That's the transfer function of the first filter. Just add it to the transfer function of the second. And we can now just go and plot this. It's different than what we just did, because what we just did previously was we had a product. Their logarithms summed. Okay, here we're just adding the transfer function, and so here might be a transfer function for a low pass, and that would be T2. And here might be the transfer function for T1. It's a high pass. And you see what's going on here is a slight bit different. I just have two filter responses, and they'll each have their own cutoff frequency. Call it, let's see, omega C1 and omega C2. Okay, and the high pass is omega C1. And the low pass is omega C2. And again, as the engineer designing this, if I just change omega C1 and omega C2, all I'm doing is I'm changing the overlap between the two, and I can make this little gap, this little notch, as wide and deep as I want, or as narrow and shallow as I want. And that's all there is to making a notch filter. But what you have to do a band reject or notch filter or a band pass, is you design two separate filters and put them together. Uh-oh, did I mess them up? Let me go back up here and check. T1's the high pass, and that's omega C1. Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. You have to watch out. Occasionally, I don't pay attention to what I'm writing. Okay. Now, I'm going to do one example, and that's going to wrap up filters. And the one example is a fairly complicated example. It's a design example. And I want to show you this particular one because I didn't tell you so far how you put two filters together. You don't just put them together. And what you do is, let's take a look at the circuit. This is actually the most important part of the example. Because this is actually broken down now into three sections. Three very separate sections. We have a C and an RC here. This is actually a high-pass filter. And you may not have recognized it right away, but if you went through and did the analysis, it would turn out to be a high-pass. This over here at the other end is a low pass. And in the middle, we put an amplifier. Okay, based on what we just did, what kind of filter do you think this is? Do you think this is a band pass or a band reject filter? What do you think? Well, you have the output of the first filter. It goes through an amplifier. All that does is multiplies it. And then it goes directly to a low pass. That's two filters connected in series. That's the cascade. That is the bandpass filter. Okay? Because for that to be a band reject, you'd have to be adding the two outputs together. Instead, one goes into the other. So it is a band pass. Now, what I didn't talk about, and what's really important, is why in the world did I put an amplifier in the middle? This now is actually very important. Okay? What would happen if I did not put the amplifier in the middle? If I did not put the amplifier in the middle, I would have a single filter that has two reactive elements in it, a capacitor and an inductor. Because it's got two reactive elements, technically it's outside the scope of what we've learned. It's called a second order filter. Okay? It turns out that what putting the amplifier in the middle does is, remember when we did the example with the voltage follower, it separated the input from the output? That's exactly what it's doing here. It's separating the input from the output. That capacitor here at the input really doesn't see that inductor at the output. They're isolated from each other. So the function of that amp is simply to separate the two filters so that you can analyze them separately. Now let's just do the transfer function. And this will be for the whole thing. This will be V2 J omega out there, V1 of J omega there, standard convention, and that will be my L, and this will be RL, and R2, and R1. It's an ideal op amp. And now, how would we write this? Well, the very first thing would be to say, what is the output of the first filter, the first section that is up to here? Okay, and I'm going to put that term here on the right, because that's a voltage divider. And its output is going to be RC over 1 plus, actually, That's not going to be 1. That's going to be RC plus 1 over J omega C. That's doing the low, or that's doing the high pass filter. I'm doing these from input to output. So the idea is, and maybe it would be better if instead of doing TV of J omega here, I actually just did V2 of J omega. I think you might see it better. And V1 of J omega is my input there. So what I've done is there's my input. I multiply it by the transfer function for this first section, and that takes me to the dashed line right there at the input of the amplifier. So that first filter is just a voltage divider. Now, this, you could go look it up on the formula sheet. We've done it before. It is a non-inverting amplifier. So if you go look it up, it would take what's at its input right there, which is nothing more than this, and multiply it by R1 plus R2 over R1. So what that does is take the input at the plus or non-inverting input at the op amp and give me the output over here at the output terminal. Okay, so that's taken me to the second vertical dashed line. Now, again, that's just the voltage. This whole thing now, so far, represents the voltage right there at that dotted vertical line going into the inductor. That now is another voltage divider. And that's going to give us a RL over RL plus J omega L. And so that was the amplifier, and this is the low pass. Now notice, I constructed them in essence in order, but they're mathematically down here in reverse of the order in which we go through them. But we start here, high pass, amplifier, low pass. And at this point, you actually have a bandpass filter. All we have to do is plot it, and we're done. And actually, because it's got so many terms, it's hard to plot. You'd have 20 log 10 of T of TD of J omega. That'd be V2 over V1. And that would be 20 log 10 of this whole big expression. And that looks nasty, but if you're taking a log, what happens? If you're taking a log of a product, you simply take the log of each and add them together. That's nothing new. Okay, and so we can take 20 log 10, and I'm going to put R1 plus R2 over R1 out here in front. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I know that's just the number. It's independent of frequency. So I'm going to put the constant out front, and then I'm going to put in all of my other terms. And I had to rearrange these because, actually, let me skip that line. Let me put these in better form, and then we'll do that. Okay? So this term, I'm not changing. But you notice what I have? These aren't in the right form to plot. Why? Because there's not a 1 plus J in the denominator. So I'm going to multiply on this term, top and bottom, by J omega C, and I'd get my 1 plus J omega RCC. and this would be a J omega RC C in the numerator. Over here, what I actually want to do is divide everything by RL, so I'd get a 1 over 1 plus J omega L over RL. Okay, now I have it in the form that I want to plot. These are all expressions we've seen before. 20 log 10 of TV of J omega. Now, I'm going to pick that term, put it first. That's just a constant. And then I'm just going to pick the other two. Doesn't matter in which order. And actually, since we're taking logs, I took care of that. Let's now do the only term left in the numerator, plus 20 log 10 J omega RCC minus 20 log 10. This is now the denominator, 1 plus J omega L over RL, and then minus 20, 1 plus J omega RCC. And you notice, this has a lot of terms. It's complicated to plot. I'll just give you really quickly the result, because we used a whole bunch of numbers. But if you plug in the numbers that are given in the example, what you will get is that at omega equals 40 pi, and omega equals 40, what is it? Is it 40,000 pi? Yeah, 40,000 pi. Okay, and you have a band pass filter. Its center goes up to 20 dB, and it's got a high and a low pass roll-off at each end. So that's your filter. Now, I didn't go through the details of plotting. This one's a little complicated. If you get hung up on the details of plotting, you can talk to me or talk to the TAs, or if you want, I can do it at the beginning of Wednesday's class. But otherwise, we're going to start with transients on Wednesday, and that'll finish up the semester. And just think about it. We're done 2 weeks from today.
I sent all those emails.
Okay.
I sent it to you and BCC to all the students involved.
Okay.
Just like I did with the last one.
Okay. Well, we're exactly at the same point we were last year. We're exactly on track.
Well, I was going to say,